Okay, now, do you want me to click through for you, or do you want?
I'll do it.
Do it yourself?
Yes.
And make sure you, I'll take my drink with me this time.
Are you looking longingly at it while I was talking?
Yeah. It's supposed to get a little dry here. Okay, go ahead and tell us about your audience. I have it in front of me, but you go ahead.
So my audience would be high school youth and college students. I would say around ages maybe 16 to 24, 25. I was focusing on the age group where, you know, you kind of don't know, I guess, where your life is going or your plan, and then the age where you kind of should know, but you might not know.
So like adult males, like 57.
Maybe.
There are days. Okay.
All right. So my name is Pablo Rello, and my scripture is Isaiah 6, and my presentation is called God's Call. So again, my sermon discussion, just a little background on myself. Been here at DCT for 4 years. I played soccer here, and it's actually my first time doing a sermon, so I hope you enjoy. So the objectives here for today would be on how to understand and find God's presence, the confession and cleansing, and faith in God's call and judgment. So here we have the Isaiah 6. Should I read that? Or can I move this?
Do you need the Bible?
Yeah.
Out of this?
Yeah, just, yeah.
How do I do that?
You Sorry. Just grab and drag it. There you go.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Do it every night. Yeah.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
So Isaiah 6 is actually broken up into two parts. The first part is Isaiah's vision of the Lord. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." And here we have the second part of Isaiah 6, Isaiah's commission from the Lord. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand, keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed.' Then I said, 'How long, O Lord?' And he said, 'Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away in the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And through a tent remain it will be burned again, like a tabernacle or an oak whose stump remains when it is but it's filled.
Filled.
The holy seed is its stump. A little difficult to read. So here we have the first part of the text that I've broken it up into. Again, verse 1 through 4. And here we're going to have an observation on just anyone from the audience. If you can tell me what you think it means, what this passage is telling you. Just passage on what you think it's telling you.
Oh, gotcha.
Or what it means or what it's trying to tell you.
Oh, you got a death of a king.
Well, I would say that it's a demonstration of the presence of God, the presence of the Lord.
Yes, spot on. A little background: King Uzziah was a great king during his reign. He followed God, and God gave. He was a good king. King Uzziah was, and because he followed God, God made him prosperous. But because of him doing so well, all that power went to his head, and then he did not follow God. So, I can't read that very well. So here we have some interpretation, and I've highlighted some key points to help you out and see what the main points from the text, what it's telling us.
You can move closer.
Freaking look at it on my iPad. Because to them at home, it's probably clear. Because that's what seeing. They're seeing that.
So it's just to give y'all some of the main, one of the key points, or some of the key points are, I saw the Lord, the throne high and lifted up, filled the temple, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of his glory, voice of him who called, and it was filled with smoke. So here from our interpretations, we see that it's talking about God and how he is on his throne, he's high and lifted up. He looks, and he's in his throne, he controls everything. Holy, 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 show that he's pure. And the whole earth is full of his glory. Both the temple is full of God and earth is full of God's glory. And when the seraphim called for God, the whole temple shook, and it was also filled with smoke. So the application here will be God's glory, holiness, and power. We see that from Isaiah's vision, God is everlasting. And what we need to, what we get from this verse 1 through 4 is revelation from God. And we see our sin, and we see compared to God that we are full of sin and we are not perfect. And to be able to, and see, Isaiah had his vision back then, but now for us to find God, what we should do is read scripture, worship different kinds of worshiping, singing, playing instruments, anything like that. And when you do that, you can meditate and think about the scripture. And what this does is convicts you. You see what your sin and inspires you to be more godlike. So for this next transition into the next part of the scripture, Isaiah, he finds God and he's in awe of him.
And I kind of want to use an example, say, you know, you meet someone famous or someone you kind of feel is your hero. I know Dr. Halen's from Ohio. He's a big college basketball fan. I mean, if you met LeBron James, he'd probably be he'd be a big fangirl.
Actually have met the man. My brother sold him stuff at a Lowe's.
What? Of all places.
Sold his mother a chandelier. Wow. out of a catalog.
Funny.
So when you here we have our second part of our scripture, verse 5-7. And if anyone can tell me what this is saying or what you think it's applying to us, how it's applying to us.
I feel like he's saying that he's a sinner and that he doesn't have a right to be in the presence of the Lord. And then when the seraphim flies to him and touches his lips with the coal, he's basically saying, it's basically how Jesus took away our sin. He's saying you've been atoned for your sins.
Yeah, exactly. So here we have some highlighted parts just to get you the main points. Basically what Abby just said. Woe is me, is lost, man of unclean lips, dwells in the midst of people of unclean lips. His eyes have seen the King. Burning coal, touch my mouth. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. So from here we see Isaiah's confession. He's cleansed, forgiven, and possibly review of his people. And so what we get from this is we need to confess our sins and we need to ask for forgiveness and to be cleansed, and also review of the people we associate with. And again, things we might, you could do, confession, asking God for forgiveness, praying, and being cleansed. And once you are cleansed, you are able to finally hear the voice of God. And just for our next transition, I have a YouTube video. It is on the movie Fury, if you haven't seen it. And basically, this movie clip is...
Actually, I'm going to have to do something before you hit it.
Okay.
Quick, stop it.
Yeah, I got
it. Oh, right, try the book.
Give me a second.
Okay.
You need to share a different screen, right?
No, I gotta find a allow for the computer sound, or they won't hear it at home. Yes. Okay. I'm gonna stop sharing for just a moment here. I go back to your clip. Got too many things open now. Oh, we don't need that. We should be okay now. Try it. Sorry for the interruption.
Yeah. All right, just some background information. Basically, they're a platoon of a team that's in a tank, and their tank has broken down, and what they need to do is stop this the Nazis from coming into their base,
and they basically have an option to either stay and fight or run away and survive.
We're doing here's a righteous act, Joan.
You hear me, Gordo?
Mm-hmm.
I can't see
you.
No.
Here's Bible verse. I think about sometimes.
Audio.
Many times. It goes. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me.
Isaiah chapter 6.
Let's just here. Let me just get you all the way out.
Okay. So that brings us into our next part of the scripture, verses 8 through 10. Can anyone here tell me what the scripture is trying to tell us? So, moving on. And here we have our interpretation of the text, some key points of what the text is trying to tell us. I heard a voice, Lord, saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Here I am, send me. This people, hearing, do not understand, seeing, not perceive, the heart, make the heart of this people dull, ears heavy, blind eyes, list, see, eyes hear, ears understand, hearts turn and be healed. So here our application is to be open to God's command, open to what God is telling us, not to be stubborn, not to be dull-hearted and thinking that's not what God is calling us for. And the scriptures that says this people, instead of my people, God knows that the people already can't be saved. So whenever you, when your mission is unknown, what God is sending you, so God could be sending you on your plan of judgment and not really saving people, but showing them that they are being judged for their sins. And the results don't matter to God. He's mainly sending you to do his work. And then to be faithful in God, trusting that he is sending you to do the right thing. So here in our last part, can anyone tell me here what the text is telling us?
He's talking about to the very end. Answering the question, you know, till everything's done, hang in there till it's all done, till it's all over.
Yeah, so in our interpretation, it's telling us that to endure what God has sent us, some key phrases, how long, O Lord, till cities lie waste, the Lord removes people far away, forsaken places, midst of the land, a tenth,
burned again, and the holy seed is its stump. So we need to, and the application here is just remember that preaching still brings hope. When the preaching to doomed people can still bring hope, there's a God's message here. Burning is not complete destruction. Talking about the when the cities lie waste and only a tenth remains. When you think about it like a fire, and the people are the trees. The tree burns, but maybe the stump can survive. That is the tenth that remains of the people. And the holy seed is its stump. So, in conclusion, to first find God, one must look. Then one needs to confess his or her sins to help others find God as well. In chapter 3, Paul says, in chapter 3 of Corinthians, Paul says that we as believers look into the scripture as in a mirror and behold the glory of the Lord. But since it is a mirror, it reflects, and so we are changed into that glory. Then in chapter 4, lists all the hardships of the ministry, but concludes that focusing on the eternal weight of the glory enables us to endure. So when you are chosen for your path, many people will still reject God, but there is still many that need to hear his word. Christ offers salvation. It depends on us if we want to share that message. God is in control. With faith, we can save future generations.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. All right. Now, that moves all right. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, that's almost empty now. Okay. Okay, we're going to have Robin. It's going to be up now. And let's see here. Robin, if you begin talking, you should pop up as the speaker. Just start talking, Robin.
Do I sound okay to you guys?
Okay, that's not okay. What I'm gonna do, that's not exactly doing what I thought it would do. Okay, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna make you the host. He said, "Stop it as well." Yeah. Oh, there we are. It's right in front of me. Okay, now if you start talking, Robin, then I think you should now be the host. Let's try that. Try it again. Try again.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Did you do you see on your screen something where like accepting to be the host?
It says that I am the host now.
Yeah, see, that's what's weird. Usually, Usually just the act of talking puts you up on screen.
Can you click on it?
Yeah. There we go, but that's still not projecting her as. Okay, here it is. That's what's funny. Okay. Let me try this. We're going to get out of this, get rid of all the extraneous screens. Okay. I'm not exactly sure why this is not working. Okay. Do you have something there that can hand it back to me, like quit being the host? do you see anything like that?
Let me see. Make
host. Oh, wait, I've got it here. I just reclaimed myself host. Okay. Okay. We're just gonna let it go. You can kind of see in the corner. It's weird that we got you here on this screen, but it's not showing up in the projected. Do the rest of you that are watching via the web conference, you're still seeing the classroom, right?
Yes.
You're not necessarily seeing Robin?
Richard's nodding.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it once I talk?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe if everybody mutes themselves, and Robin's the only one talking, that might help. And I don't want to go run down Kyle right now. We're doing too good on time. So we're just going to go ahead and go with the way we got it. Okay, Robin, go ahead. Tell us about your audience.
So my audience is general, mixed adults, and I am doing a sermon.
Yeah, it was a matter of volume, evidently, because you are up, and then we just lost you because I start talking.
Okay.
Okay, so once you get going, I think that's going to take care of it.
Okay.
Go at it.
Sounds good. In 1993, Bits and Pieces published a short story of an old mountaineer and his wife. One evening, the husband and wife were sitting in front of the fireplace just passing the time away. And after a long silence, the wife said, "Jed, I think it's raining outside. Get up and go and see if it is." The old mountaineer continued to gaze into the fire for a second, and he sighed, "Oh, Ma, why don't we just call in the dog and see if he's wet? You talk about laziness at its finest, right?" Our society and culture has created a world of convenience, or what you would call laziness. We talk into the remote and we tell our TV what channel to turn to. We hold up our cell phones to our face, and with a trusty little handy app, we order our groceries. We drive to the pickup point at the grocery store, and the attendant brings our groceries out to us to deliver them to us. Laziness can seep into your world and mind like a poison. Let's take a look at Solomon's warning for laziness, which is found in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 11. And it reads, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." So in verse 6, it says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise." So the student is instructed by Solomon to look at nature for knowledge. In the cultural context at this time, examples of nature and why animals behaved the way that they did and why insects worked in the manner in which they did were used for teaching wisdom and knowledge concerning laziness. If we look at Job chapter 12, verse 7, it explains the importance of observing nature. But ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of heavens, and they will tell you. The very creation that God has given mankind dominion over also has the ability to teach wisdom and knowledge. How humbling is that? And just in case we miss Solomon's point, he reminds the reader in the next verse that the ant is doing all of this without having any chief officer or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. I remember when I was pregnant with my son, and it was just about time for his arrival, and belly and all, I was beginning to clean my home from the top to the bottom, setting up things and making sure everything was in place. I had this natural instinct to prepare for the blessing that God had for my husband and I. Laziness was never supposed to be a part of our nature. If we look at the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were given the authority to maintain and to keep the garden. And if we look at Noah and the ark, you can only imagine loading animals two by two, how much work that was. But our laziness is a product of our overly self-focused society. So how do we work against this laziness? We can combat the poison of laziness that our society has dumped into our personal environments by retraining the way that we think. Number one, consider each day as a day to prepare for the blessings God has for you and a day to prepare for the challenges that the enemy brings against you. 1 Peter 1 and 13 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. My father is a Vietnam veteran, and he was in communications in the Air Force. He was responsible for installing air traffic control and telecommunications. And while he was in basic training, he was prepared for combat. Even though he was not on the front line, he still learned how to take apart his rifle and put it back together and shoot it by a certain distance. He was prepared to encounter the enemy, even though his job did not call him to the front line. Preparation hardly ever causes regrets, but not preparing almost always does. Let's take a look back at our text. In Proverbs 6 and 9, it says, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? We're always so fascinated with the snooze button on our alarms, right? So when is the last time you hit snooze on your alarm clock? And by the way, you're going to wake up angry because you've overslept the snooze button. And so now you're actually really late. We're taught young that you snooze and you lose, right? My husband was in the show-style marching band in college. And if you're not familiar with what that is, these guys, man, do they work. They are not only responsible for providing you the music, but they also provide you the entertainment. They dance and even do acrobats. They would practice anywhere from 5 to 6 hours a day. And the professor would always tell them, sleep was a luxury. He would even go as far to tell them, you can sleep when you're dead. I know that can sound a bit extreme, but certainly it came across to those students. The second way to retrain the way that we think to combat laziness is to learn the proper order. Work, then sleep, accomplish, then rest. Genesis 2 and 3 says, then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. See, if you never put in hard work and accomplish anything, you will always underestimate the value in it. Here's why. Proverbs 6:10 through 11 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Most people don't pay attention to the effects of laziness until it begins to rob you from the very things that you value. I remember going into one of those Netflix binges. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that. You know, it's one of those where your world becomes whatever you're watching on Netflix. You actually leave out of the real world and fall into the happenings of whatever it is that you're watching. I had watched 6 seasons of this particular show, and really that translates to about 6 years of a show series. So you can imagine how much TV that was. I lost track of time and all the things I was responsible for doing. It wasn't the fact that I spent so much time watching this TV show. It was the door that I had opened for laziness to come right into my mind. It was the after effect of having to pull yourself out of this lazy mode of thinking and this lazy mode of being. That brings me to my final way to combat laziness. Number 3, recognize the behavior of laziness before it's too late. Laziness is crafty and very sneaky and disguised as sometimes even a relaxing few days. Like scripture says, it will sneak upon you like an armed man, unexpected, and you defenseless. Not only will it rob you of the things that you value, but it will rob you of your time, something you don't get back. And if you've chosen to be a servant of God, that time doesn't belong to you anyways. We all can do a little bit better in the way that we spend our time. And maybe you've heard this message and you've thought, I can certainly do a little bit better with my time and how I give it to God. I would encourage you to self-evaluate, do a checkup, and give God permission to have your time and to use it in the way that He sees fit. I want to leave you with this quote from Rudyard Kipling. It's very simple, and it says, gardens are not made by singing, oh, how beautiful, and sitting in the shade. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the wisdom that you have given us through your servant Solomon. And God, that we have these tools, God, to guide us, that we can be better disciples, better servants, God. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you, God, that you may have your way in our lives. We give our time freely to you, Father, that your will may be done in us and through us. We want nothing more, Father, than to be your hands and feet here on earth, that when people see us, they see you, that when we speak, Father, that people hear you, and that wherever we go, we change the atmosphere because we bring your Holy Spirit with us. And so we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the encouragement. And we're grateful for your son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's see here. I think. Back. Let's take a break here. I've got quarter till, so let's break for about 5-7 minutes. If you want to scribble down a few notes, you can do that. But after we get back from break, we're going to start doing our feedback time. So I'm going to stop the recording for a while, and like I said, we'll come back in about 5 minutes.